Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a good week so far. So, I have a good one for you this week. It is Kelsey and Cassidy from Deviate Fashion. Deviate is a fashion brand based in Detroit. I met up with Cassidy, I think it was at the beginning of this year, in January, I believe. Or maybe, I can't remember when it was. But I absolutely loved her and I have kind of kept in touch since. I absolutely love the brand. This is the first time I met Kelsey. They're both sisters. And they started this dope fashion brand that is based in Detroit. They're doing some really amazing things in the community in Detroit and their clothes are amazing. So without further ado, Cassidy and Kelsey, enjoy. Cassidy, Kelsey, what's going on?
Hey,
not much. What's going on with you, Will?
I am in the UK and we don't have winter like Detroit, so
consider yourself lucky. Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of like the winter in Detroit. I'm obviously not from there, but when I moved there I was like, yeah, I like the snow, but everyone there hates it for some reason.
Yeah, I think it just gets like so cold so quickly that it always catches us all off guard, but I don't know. I think
it's the driving. Oh, it's definitely the driving. Like if you have to leave your house, it sucks. But if you're working from home, it's great because you just get to watch the snow. But yeah.
I get that. In the UK, we very rarely get snow. And if it snows, the whole country like closes down until it melts. Like nothing, like aeroplanes, trains, buses, no one goes to work. It's like, it's weird, but we don't have the equipment to like deal with it. And when I first moved to Detroit, it was like hammering down with snow and everyone was just like getting on with their day. And last year, I remember I was going down, I can't remember. Oh my God. I can't even remember the name of the roads where what's the, like the main road? Is it John Cousins?
Oh, the lodge.
Yeah.
I like John Cousins.
Is it
John R?
Yeah. Yeah. I was driving down there and we had like loads of snow the night before and this car just like came speeding past me, like did like a 720 spin in the middle of the road. Everyone stopped and then he just drove off like nothing happened and we all just like got on like normally. And I was like, this would never happen in the UK. I just love it in Detroit that it's just normal.
Yeah, that's such like a microcosm of Detroit, I feel like. Just random shit. Oh, are we allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, you can swear all you want.
Just random shit, and then it's just a normal day. Just carry on.
I feel like that's just Detroit generally, which
yeah.
I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do whatever we want over here.
So did you guys, wait, before we start, I guess like we should probably talk about what you guys do. Like some of the people that are listening might not know. So Deviate is a fashion label, but I'm just going to butcher it if I kind of introduce it. So why don't you guys kind of talk about how you started it, and then we can just talk about general shit.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so Deviate's a Detroit-based fashion label. We design unisex collections and more so focused on designing like masculine silhouettes. And we launched in 2018, my sister and I. So Kelsey and I are sisters. I'm the older one. She's the younger one. We were really just on a mission to put Detroit on the fashion map. And that's really been like our core focus since we launched Deviate.
Definitely. Yeah. So Cass handles the business side and I handle the creative side.
Yeah. Kelsey's amazing.
Back at you, sis.
Yeah, I mean, she's very talented. She's actually, she won't brag, but I can brag for her. But, she spent some time in LA working for well-known designers like Vera Wang and Adolfo Sanchez, and kind of realized that she wanted to come back home and didn't want to choose between career and family, because we're both like homebodies. We love being here in Michigan and being a part of our community in Detroit. So she came back to Michigan and we decided to team up and launch this brand and really, like we said, elevate Detroit's reputation as this fashion city, because we are often overlooked and we're just kind of like sick of it, I guess, just to be blunt. But yeah, I mean, I think overall we design for our community, and then we also want to give back to our community too. So everything we do is socially sustainable, from how we design and produce to how we actually, interact with our community and create partnerships with community leaders.
Sweet. I remember going for a coffee with you. Well, I think I had a hot chocolate because I'm a child and don't drink coffee. It kind of amazed me that you make everything yourself, and kind of, are you still in that situation where you're like designing and making it all yourself and kind of mass producing it yourself?
Yeah, we are. We're actually in our production facility right now, like surrounded by all of our Jukies, which if you don't know what those are like amazing industrial machines.
Okay. So Sorry,
we actually use our like production process through like a talent incubator. So we have talent from like local schools, recent grads, or anyone just interested in like starting their own brand or going into fashion. So we really use our production, like leverage that to help train like the new talent of Detroit.
That's dope. What is it about Detroit that you feel always just kind of gets forgotten about? Because there's something about the city that like people still ask me why I moved there, and I still don't know really the real question. And I'll be honest, I probably won't be there for the rest of my life. But there's something about it that just kind of always draws me back, and I'm not too sure why. But what is it for you guys that you feel that Detroit just kind of always gets left in the dust? Because it's been like that since the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, I think it just kind of gets back to like all of the headlines and the news and the media that people outside of Detroit see about Detroit are usually pretty negative. And so I think that Detroit has this negative connotation, and it's really just a one-sided perspective of what Detroit has to offer. But so much of the world doesn't see that other, more positive, more vibrant, more energizing side of Detroit. So I think that's why oftentimes Detroit is overlooked, because when you think of Detroit, you don't think of fashion or creativity or art or architecture, when really that's at the core of what Detroit really is. And I think it's hard to like explain that unless people can really experience it, because like seeing is believing, right? So I don't know, what would you add on to that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with the headlines and everything, but I think Detroit like isn't recognized for how cool it is. Like we just have so much cool shit happening all the time, and people are cool. Like there's just like cool graffiti. I don't know, everything's cool in my opinion.
It's just authentic and very genuine, and I don't know, there's just, we wouldn't be anywhere else. So we're making a big plug for Detroit. So we'll step off of our soapbox now, but go Detroit.
No, I agree. It's kind of this strange city that everyone knows Detroit, but a lot of people know the history of Detroit, and then they kind of forget that it's still going, and kind of Detroit is lived by Motor City, Motown, and techno. And although it's still like a huge Motor City, it's not as big as it used to be, and techno isn't as big as it used to be in Detroit, apart from movement, and there isn't a reasonable scene, but it's just not as big as it used to be. And obviously Motown's just not there anymore. So it's like, what's next? And I think it is a cheap city to live in compared to, well, Kelsey, you lived in LA and things like that, compared to LA, compared to New York, which is like the big fashion places in America. And when there's cheap cities, it does kind of like grow creativity. Do you think eventually people are going to be like, fuck it, let's move to Detroit because it's cheap to live? Or do you think it's like, nah, winters suck there. It's kind of dangerous in some places. We don't want to go there.
I mean, winters aren't great here, but they're not great in New York either. But I think people already are thinking that way. Like, everything is more affordable here and there is more opportunity because a lot of the industries are nascent. They're budding, but like they're new. So it gives a lot of opportunity for creatives who want to hustle and grind to really make a name for themselves and move along faster here than maybe they could in a more established, larger market city.
Do you think it's easier for you girls like to kind of build a name for yourself in Detroit as a city, because it's like it's a lot more community based compared to LA, London, New York, Paris, Milan, and things like that? Do you think it's easier for you guys to kind of grow the brand and build a community around you?
Definitely. Yeah. The community in Detroit is so just like loving and like wants to see other Detroit people succeed. So I think that the backing's really there. And then when we go to New York and all these other places, they're like, the only reason we want to talk to you is because you're from Detroit. Like, that's cool. We don't see that a lot. It's different. So I definitely think that helped us, as well as
like to stand out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think totally. And a lot of entrepreneurs will tell you that who are from Detroit. It's like, Detroit is a small community. I know it's a small world, but like, if you're in a specific area in Detroit, you pretty much get to know everyone really quickly.
Yeah.
And so it kind of fosters this genuine community that, like, really, if you kind of screw someone over, it's everyone's going to find out. So it's perpetual in that, like, I think people really do want to do good. Like, deep down, there's that Midwest genuine kind of like spirit here, but also just the way that we're building things, like, continues to keep that, those good vibes flowing, I guess.
Sick. I love it. So I don't know how I came across you guys. I think it was through Detroit Bruce.
Yeah,
Was it through Detroit? It was, wasn't it? That dude is on another level of legend status, I think. I don't know. I don't know what he does still. Like, he toured me around Detroit, and I'm like, I still talk to him. I'm like, dude, what the fuck do you do? Like, I don't know what he does, but he's kind of like this Detroit plug.
100%.
But how, I guess, starting in 2018, how do you start a fashion brand? Where does it start? Like, because I've done stuff in the past, and it feels like you almost need like more than one person to do it, or you need like a bit of a team to kind of, so like, what's the starting blocks for you guys starting Deviate?
Yeah. So when we first started, we also were like, okay, how do we start a fashion brand? Because I have experience in the startup space. I came from a mobility tech startup. So obviously very different than the fashion industry, but I kind of brought that startup, like, fast-paced dynamic mentality. And that coupled with Kelsey's knowledge of the industry and her experience with product development. And so we kind of focused on the areas that we were comfortable with at first, and we really wanted to make sure that we kept our overhead low because we were just starting everything out. So we literally produced everything ourselves. And like, when we first started, I didn't know how to sew. It was bad, but Kelsey taught me everything. Kelsey literally like didn't sleep. Our first collection was just in our dad's basement, like sewing our pleated pants, which were like our first pants ever. And I was like,
making my fiance iron pockets. Like, it was so startup grind.
Wait, have you got engaged?
Yeah.
Congrats. Like, when was that?
It was in the summer. Yeah.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So, anyways, he's our pocket ironer now. Like, we're making our dad help us with our pleated pants. It was like very much all hands on deck because you're right. We couldn't do it just ourselves. Yeah. We really need a lot of help. So I think we just focus on making the product as special as we could make it and then just getting it to the market and seeing how people would react to it and then adjust from there and figure out where to invest our money after getting some initial feedback.
That's dope. And when it comes to designing, Kelsey, like, do you both talk about it or are you like the boss of design and you're like, no, that's shit, Cassidy, like, come on.
We definitely have our lanes, but I do like her opinion because mine can be like pretty out there sometimes. So I need someone like more realistic to like bring me back down to earth and be like, okay, is someone actually going to wear this? Are you like, I always ask her, I'm like, would you wear this? Just so I can see like the levels of like where to
draw the line.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that we definitely collaborate on it sometimes, but it's definitely is more of my realm.
Yeah, she comes up with the concepts and everything, and then I'm just kind of like, this is a cool color.
where do you get all the like materials? Is there like places in Detroit or do you have to get them from elsewhere?
Yeah, there are some places around here, but definitely more so in like LA, there's just a lot of fabric. We try to source everything from the US and like make sure it's sustainably produced and everything. But I do wish that Detroit did have more like fabric mills. But I think that's an area of the industry that is still like in the very early stages of development. So we source from like the coast, basically the East and West Coast.
You should definitely start a fabric mill. That'd be dope in Detroit. You should literally do like everything from like fabric to fashion.
I used to raise silkworms. So
oh, really?
They all died, but it was a start.
Typical fashion girl. Like, doesn't have like rabbits or dogs or anything, has a silkworm.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
That's classic. Weird. How do they even create silk?
When they go in their cocoon, they spin their cocoon out of their silk, and apparently it's like really beautiful to watch, but I never got there because mine died. But then you take the cones of silk and you boil them, and the silk like comes apart into really like this long silk strands.
You must need a lot of silkworms to create one bit of scarf.
It's intense. That's why silk's so expensive.
I didn't know that.
Either. We're learning.
Every day's a school day over here. So did you learn to sew when you were young? Was it something that you were just like always wanted to do?
Yeah, I started watching Project Runway when I was like 15.
Classic.
And then asked for a sewing machine for Christmas and just like got really obsessed with it. And I wasn't very good at the time, but I was just like making a ton of stuff still in my dad's basement, but that's where Deviate started. So yeah, it was definitely always an interest of mine. And then I decided to go to school for it. I actually was like deciding if I wanted to go play hockey in college. So my dad's like super about hockey and like my family's about hockey. So it was kind of a big deal for me to quit.
Is that ice hockey?
Yeah.
Sorry, in the UK we don't have ice hockey. So I was like, hockey's like for us, hockey's like on a grass pitch with a very small hockey stick and a ball.
Yeah. No, this is the real hockey.
Yeah. The real hockey. Typical Americans. Jesus.
Close to Canada.
So were you good at hockey?
Yeah, Cass actually went and played at Princeton for hockey, like got all of her stuff covered for her for hockey. So it was pretty cool.
Kels, you could have played there too, but like she said, she pursued fashion.
I hated working out too. Like, I just hate it.
Do you work out now or are you just like, definitely no?
I'll go for like a walk in the morning.
All right.
Amazing. So I want to go back to when you like design a collection, and then a collection from like, for, do you, I take it you guys do fashion shows. I was just looking on your website and you had all the different collections, and then you have like what you're going to sell. I don't know what the technical terms are, so excuse me hashing this out, but do you ever sell the collections, or like, am I making any sense at all?
I think I know what you mean, because like on our website we have products that are, it's just like merchandise. Yeah, really. Yeah. Our collections are more like artful.
Yeah.
Higher fashion. Yeah. So that's a good question. And so we do sell like our collection pieces, but they have very specific drop times. So we follow the industry calendar, which essentially you have like two big collections each year, which is your spring, summer, and your fall, winter.
Yeah.
So the spring, summer, which you can see on our website now, you show that like 6 months in advance before you actually drop it and make it available for consumers.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's always like, it's weird because it's always like two seasons behind. So it's like you show it and then get people excited.
Oh, really?
And then they have to wait to be able to purchase it. I don't know why. The industry does weird stuff sometimes, but maybe you should
change it up.
Yeah. Fuck maybe it. We'll deviate away from the norm.
Nicely done. But do you sell as many of the collections as you do your kind of like, I don't want to say generic because that just sounds rude, but you're more like standard kind of fashion stuff. How does that work? Like with the amount you're making compared to the standard fashion stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Like it's definitely a balance. So we have retailers who are more into the high fashion stuff and people are going to buy it. And that's in Detroit and like in the US. And then there's more of like the basic pieces to appeal to more of like the like merchandise consumer, like
online shopper.
Yeah. And also like people who want to support, but maybe don't want to spend all that money to get something like super well made. So yeah, it's definitely a balance between those two. I think that's the hard thing about fashion is like you have this really artful like thing, like your collections and your concepts. And then you kind of have to like go down to another level and just like print a hoodie, you know, and it's like, it's cool, but it's like not everything you want to do, you know? So it's definitely a balance.
It must be weird, or because for me, it's kind of the same. If I do like merchandise, I hate doing merchandise because it's just like, it's just really not for me, if you know what I mean. I'd rather make like an insane bomber jacket that no one else has ever worn. Or gonna wear, and there's like a limited run, but most people don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to the point where your business is literally all what you want to sell rather than just, I don't know, because I guess every fashion label has their kind of like essential stuff, but there's got to be some out there that is all just high end, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think it just all comes down to customer loyalty and trust, because they're, you know, we're still a young brand and we've built up like a strong following and a really engaged community. But I mean, we're so far from like a Gucci, right? Who can literally do whatever they want and people are going to know it's high quality. They're going to trust that it's cool and they'll buy it no matter what the price. Whereas like we have to work way harder to get our consumers to like really trust in what we're doing and understand our messaging. So that's why I think we have those kind of like tiered products where it's like, it's almost like a funnel kind of, you know, where it's like you have your products like t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, like things that are more like casual and more affordable and consumers know how it's going to fit. It's not going to be a weird size.
Yeah.
And then once you kind of build that initial trust, then they'll like take a second look at that dope jacket or those really cool trousers that, you know, they'll then say, okay, I love this brand. I love what they're doing. I want those cool trousers. So it's just like a constant grind to build up our community and make them trust us and want us to succeed.
I dig that. Because I remember when I sat down with you, I asked like if you have like brick and mortar shops that kind of you just have just for Devia? Is that like a plan, or do you think everything's just gonna go online?
Or we just talked about this yesterday. Really? So very timely question, Will. So honestly, I think with the pandemic, it just kind of changed everything. And everyone's really like, what we're seeing in the fashion industry is the larger like department stores and like brick and mortar retail. It's obviously a challenge, but the direct to consumer market where it's like all online, first of all, like your margins are way better because we're not being like middleman or anything. And secondly, it's just like we have more control over our branding and that process. So our focus is more on the direct to consumer and the e-com, because that's like how I think you can really build a self-sustaining brand. But I mean, there's something to say about being able to create your own world in a retail setting that people can come and immerse themselves in and be like, oh yeah, I really get Deviate. So it's definitely still on the radar, but I think a little bit further down the road for us.
Yeah, I think there's something about having your own store. Like, I think there's key stores to be in just to sell your kind of stuff that you can't, everyone has to be in to a certain extent, whether that it has to align with your brand. But I think having your own store, you can literally do what the fuck you want. And it can just be like, you can just walk in every day and just be so happy because you're like, yeah, this is just completely us. And I also think that actually allows a community to see what you're about. And I think it's something that kind of went out of fashion for a while because of e-commerce and because direct to consumer was just so easy. And like you could sell a t-shirt and make all the money. And I think but with brick and mortar, you're actually, people can go and touch the clothes, people can try them on, or obviously not at the moment, but like there's something about actually going into a store and I don't know, there's something more real about it.
Yeah, it's definitely more of an experience. I totally agree. And one thing that we really wanted to do in 2020 was just like have cool ass events and like do different pop-ups in different areas. So kind of like have a hybrid where it's like, we're not assuming all that risk of a brick and mortar, but we can still like create this cool experience and like do it in different areas and give our people like something cool to do. So that's definitely part of the plan for 2021. Like hopefully we can start to have some events again, but you're totally right. Like being in person and touching the product, it's just like, I don't know, it's fun, it's shopping.
We should do something next year. We should throw a big party. And
oh, we love parties.
We should do like a movement party as well.
That would be dope. That would be cool.
We should do like a day movement. Oh, maybe not day because the festival's on. But we should do an after party.
That's a great idea.
With like, I don't know how we can do it with the clothes because it's just a load of messy people getting fucked up, but it could be fun.
We can make it work. We actually did something like that. There's a funny story. Like when we first launched, our launch party ended up being on the same day as, you know, the H&M store that's in Detroit now. So they copied off of us or something, but their launch party ended up being on the same day as ours. So we were like, fuck it, we're going to get all their people to come to like our after party. So like we literally stood outside of the H&M as people were leaving. We were like, come to the after party. We got in some like big trouble for it, but whatever.
It's Detroit. You're coming in you're coming in that your city. Don't fuck with people from Detroit.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on like big brands like H&M coming to Detroit?
Good and bad.
It's good and bad for sure. But I mean, it's good to get people to draw people out here and like to think that we like have it going on. But also, like, there's so many little cool stores that are around here, local people own. So I think that's cooler in my opinion, but I'll leave it at that.
Hopefully we just like maintain a good balance because like, I think we need the larger brands to have like a healthy fashion ecosystem here, but you just like really hope that they don't like start to squash these really cool brands that you will never be able to find again. So yeah, I guess we'll see. Hopefully Detroit stays real.
It's such a like catch 22, isn't it? Because we all want Detroit to kind of develop. But like me moving to Detroit, I've like met so many people that are like, Detroit isn't the same anymore. And I'm like, well, of course it's not the same, but is it better than 5 years ago? Like you can actually walk downtown now, like, and not get shot. And you're like, well, it's probably better now. And I'm kind of happy that I think it's really important, but you're right. It still needs that organic kind of, but I guess let's say for instance, like New York, I wouldn't necessarily say so much LA, but New York, although all the huge brands are there, there's still a lot of very small brands and like really fucking cool shops that you just like stumble across. And I think Detroit, there isn't that much like space downtown's very small in Detroit, really. Compared, you can walk around it in like 10 minutes. And most of the space is all like independent-y stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of it is independently owned stores. We are starting to get some bigger ones coming in. But yeah, I mean, you're totally right. Like you look at a city like New York and like Soho, and it's just, it's really cool. Like you kind of get these different pockets that develop, and like, they're like New Center in Detroit, I think, has like a lot of cool independently owned shops. And maybe we'll see downtown become a little more established with bigger brands. But like, as you kind of see these neighborhoods forming, I think that's like kind of what, yeah, Detroit's changing, but it's like, we still have character in these little pockets, and it's okay if it's a little different, but as long as it's like driven by the community here, it's still true to Detroit. So yeah, I think we're on the right track. I really do. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How much do you like Carhartt?
I think Carhartt stuff is cool. It's definitely cool. Yeah.
I feel like you're being politically correct.
I really like Carhartt's workwear jackets. Like my dad always had a Carhartt jacket, so I would always steal his and wear it around because it was just like cool and faded and was worked in and stuff. So I think Carhartt's really cool. I think that they are definitely the fashion, like our only real like
icon.
Yeah, of Detroit, which definitely needs to change because we have better fashion than Carhartt here. Like we're not all just like walking around in workwear pants and workwear boots. Like you do have style.
Yeah, I think that's where the hesitation was. We're like, it's cool, but it's not all encompassing of what we've got here. Yeah.
I get it. It's weird because a lot of people don't know it's from Detroit. And I guess growing up in Detroit, that's kind of all you see. But Carhartt, if you go to like any other major city, Carhartt's this like cool hipster kind of brand because they don't get any of the workwear in the store. They just get the like cool collabs and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'd work in progress. Say that again.
Their work in progress.
Yeah.
Like Carhartt whip. Yeah, that stuff's pretty cool.
I don't know why you've just gone really quiet.
Oh, am I louder now?
No. That's really weird.
I'll move the laptop closer.
I'll just turn you up.
Yeah. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
I don't know why you've just gone really quiet. So what's the plan for, obviously 2020 has been a weird year. Has it like affected sales and shit for you?
I think at the beginning, it was definitely like, oh my gosh, you know, all of the retail stores, like key revenue channels, like closed overnight with COVID. And then we thought, okay, we have to do something. So we pivoted like really hard into production because like we do produce all of our clothes here. So we have the infrastructure. So we pivoted hard into production and actually started producing like isolation gowns and like face masks for healthcare workers and cool. like in partnership with the state of Michigan. So that was a good opportunity for us because it allowed us to keep our team on board, you know, keep some cash flow coming into the company. So as like difficult as it was, we were able to like make lemonade out of lemons or whatever the saying is. So that was okay. It like helped us to stay afloat. And then following, you know, all of our production work, we started to like focus more on the brand, sell more online. Retail locations started opening up again. And we actually like just had the best holiday season that like
really?
We've ever had. Like we probably saw like 10x growth from last Christmas, which is just insane. So like our community really, really supported us this
That's
year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Making bank over there.
I don't know about that.
How is it when like doing fashion stuff on the like finance side of things? Because I can pretty much guarantee it's quite similar to music. You spend years kind of working hard, investing in yourself and keep investing. When have you got to the point where you're like, yeah, we're good? Or is it still at that, like, obviously it's at that growing stage where I think everyone's always growing no matter what level you're at. But is there like a point in your head that you've got, not necessarily financially, but like where you're at when you're like, when you can sit back and be like, yeah, we've done pretty good. Or are you at that point?
I feel like we kind of are. Our team has grown. So we're a team of 5 now, which is really cool. Like it's not just Kelsey and me anymore. So I think when we expanded our team, that was kind of when it hit us like, wow, okay, this is really cool. We're like creating jobs and we have this crew that's like bought into our vision and our brand and that's special. So I feel like, you know, financially, obviously finances are so important, but I think for us, what really kicked in that feeling that you're talking about is when our team started growing and started forming.
Can I stop this and call you back? Because you've gone so quiet. It's ridiculous.
Oh, bummer. Okay, yeah. Just do you want me to call you?
Yeah, I'll just end and then you just log back into the same link. Cool. See you in a bit. And we're back. So what were we just talking about? I completely forgot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
you're employing people now, which is such a strange thing when you're running a business, right? Especially when you like start from scratch, you're like, okay, we need to put food on our table. And then when you start employing somebody, you're like, it doesn't matter about, I don't know, it could be rock different for you, but for me, it's like, it doesn't matter about me anymore. It matters about how well the business does for that other person because they've got to eat, their family, their kids have to go to school, that whatever it is. How much pressure is that for you?
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I think though it's super motivating because like when we first brought the team out, I was like, okay, like we need to hit these certain like points and we need to make sure that this happens. So, and then I'm like, I need to do it for Angie. I need to do it for like Diane, like all these people. I'm just thinking of their like names in my head and I'm like, okay, I got this. I'm doing it for them.
Mm-hmm. Is it mostly women that work for you?
Yep. We have an all female team.
Oh, what just happened then?
Oh, did we go out again?
I don't know. No, something happened. We're working. This fucking podcast is a shit show. We're good. So is it all women?
Yeah, we have an all female team.
Was that purpose?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Can I not get a job?
Well, no, we'll consider it.
I need to
sure.
learn how to sew first. So what's everyone's role in the team?
I think our team is like super, they're amazing, first of all. And like, we just have a really dynamic team. So we actually have a workshop plan, like all hands, this Thursday to really go over our goals for 2021. But our team helps us with our brand development. So like really focused on marketing, you know, stylist and stockist outreach to try to get product seeding and product placement for our brand. And just a lot of different strategies to really grow Deviate, not only within Detroit, but also nationally and eventually globally. So, yeah, they're just down for the cause.
That's cool. Do you have like a production team as well? Or is it still Kelsey? Is that still you?
No, it's not me anymore. But we do, like, since we only have to produce at certain times, like we'll use our team that's like on payroll for like those like mini production, because they all know how to sew as well as do the business side, which is really great. But then when we have like our like spring, summer and fall, winter coming out, we have like contract workers that come back in and work.
Actually, a lot of them are students too, mm-hmm. or like recent graduates. And so it's a really good experience for them to see how a brand works, like be involved with like running a production floor, like really real world knowledge that they can either bring to another job or start their own business.
And we teach them like all the sewing too. So a lot of them have like never used an industrial machine before they come and work for us. So it's like, we're teaching them these skills that they can then go on and get other production jobs as well, which there are like a good opportunities in Detroit for that.
That's dope. Cause I was texting you, Cassie, the other day, and you were saying that you do like, you, I don't know, that you, do you teach people different things, or is it like all fashion stuff that you teach, or do you have like I don't really know, but
yeah so no, you're right. So yeah, so I'll backtrack, like, you know, when I was talking about when the pandemic hit, we pivoted into production. So we like kind of used that production process as like job training. So that was really when it first started, when we realized that there was almost like a knowledge gap of like recent graduates and the current market in Detroit. And so we thought we could fill that with this like curriculum where we were teaching these recent grads, like how to work industrial sewing machines, like how to actually go through the lean manufacturing and production process. And then from there, we realized that there was so much potential with that idea to continue to expand it. So it's not just about production, but also about, you know, entrepreneurship and starting, forming your LLC and branding and marketing and coming up with cohesive collections and illustrating them technically and all of these different areas of owning a fashion brand or being successful in the fashion space. We essentially boiled down into like a 6-month curriculum that we used to base our talent incubator off of, which is where aspiring designers and creatives will come work with us, and we'll help them through that process depending on, you know, where they're at personally. And then from there, we recently actually partnered with the Boys and Girls Club in September. And so that talent incubator curriculum, we basically took that and applied it with the youth members that we work with who are high school aged. And they essentially have paid apprenticeships with us where we teach them all about the industry and help them with, you know, their own personal journeys. So it's been just, it's all come full circle for us.
That's dope. What's the Boys and Girls Club?
The Boys and Girls Club is a nonprofit here in Detroit. So, and actually they're like a national nonprofit, like okay. across America. So it's like the Boys and Girls Club is kind of like this safe place that they're located in like disadvantaged communities often. So that way, you know, kids in that area have some place to go where they feel safe and they have mentorship and could get a warm meal. And they also offer like learning workshops. And so what we are working with the Boys and Girls Club on is this learning workshop, which is actually called like an industry club. So it's something new cool. that they're doing. And yeah, we're really excited to be a part of it.
That's dope. You should do some sick t-shirts called that has like the industry club on. And then they will wear them around Detroit.
Yeah, we actually are doing that. Oh, Kelsey, you want to talk about your Club Kids idea that you may be doing?
Yeah, so for the next cohort of kids that we get, we're definitely are going to do like a Detroit Club Kids collection where they're going to design pieces of it, and then it's going to be like really fun and colorful and cool. So look out for that.
That'd be dope. How important is it for you to like, Detroit clearly isn't the like the wealthiest place, the wealthiest city. It doesn't have like the best schools. It doesn't have kind of the best upbringings for a lot of kids in within the city, especially. What? How important is it to kind of help grow the like younger community or the younger generations and kind of give them opportunities in a city like Detroit?
Yeah, it's so important. And I think we're going to start to see the role of brands change even more. Like it's great that we see brands that are like environmentally sustainable now. That's almost like a requirement, which is awesome. And I think we're going to start to see that boundary be pushed even more into like the social sustainable arena, which is really like how a brand or a business interacts with their community and the people they hire. And like, how can we be more socially sustainable and not only, you know, make a profit, but do good as well. And so that's like a really, really a core foundation of our business, is to really focus on being socially sustainable, because Detroit and our community has given us so much that it's like, it's only right to be able to reciprocate that. And also it just makes for a more healthier ecosystem that we're building here.
And it relates to our mission too, which is really to elevate the reputation of Detroit as a fashion city. Mm-hmm. So like the way to do that is by starting with at a young age and make sure that talent to see them through to success. So that's super important to us.
I think that's the only way to grow a city or like a scene in the city, is by getting the younger kids on board. Mm-hmm. It's like anything really. And I think especially growing up, I didn't grow up in Detroit itself, but I couldn't even imagine in some places what it's like to grow up, and being able to have like an outlet to kind of be creative is like something super important, and I don't think there's enough of it in the city. So it's pretty fucking amazing you're doing it, so keep that shit up.
Thanks, you Will. Much love.
2021, 2022. What's the like the goals? Fuck yeah. Minus COVID. Just imagine COVID's not happening. Like, what is it? What's the goals for it?
I think we have a couple different areas. One, like our local goal is to continue to build out this program with the Boys and Girls Club and really have the kids like have real opportunities following the program. So maybe it's internships in like a New York or LA or with like a Carhartt here in Detroit. So that's like an important local goal. And then I think as we're looking towards our brand, it's definitely growing our number of stockists and continuing to expand not only within Detroit and Michigan, but also looking to those other cities that, you know, could be kind of like sister cities for us. In addition to, of course, New York and LA, and continuing to grow our footprint there as well. And then I think we also have some goals to continue to grow our team and our talent incubator and continue to work with recent graduates and help give them the opportunities that, you know, like we both wish we would have had when we were starting our brand. So I think those are probably the main areas that we're focusing on: community development and brand development. But would you add anything? We probably have product development on your mind.
Yeah, definitely. Like getting our base products, like so that we're known by a certain product. So that's what like a big goal of mine.
Jackets, right?
Yeah, definitely jackets.
Yes. Can you make an insane bomber jacket?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some really cool jackets. Like Kels, you like everything you do is great, but your jackets are like another level. So yeah, look forward to those.
Yeah, definitely.
More jackets. 2021.
I've got a really stupid question.
Okay,
what is like, I got sent some samples the other day for a t-shirt, and the dude was like, it's a vegan t-shirt. What the fuck is a vegan t-shirt?
Isn't that like the way that the fabric is?
It's made without harming animals, maybe.
But what animals are harmed in the process?
Yeah, that one I'm not sure about. like I know vegan leather.
Yeah,
I get that. But this is like, it's literally just like it's like a Gildan t-shirt. It's not, but it's like a generic Gildan t-shirt. And they were like, this is a vegan. I'll send you the link after and you can try and work it out.
Yeah.
We'll do some investigating. Yeah, I'm not really sure at all.
I just feel like it's just advertising to people in LA and just trying to get more sales, because I just didn't know that a t-shirt is harming animals.
Me either.
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the way it's, I don't know. It's kind of a stretch, but I'm sure it probably works. I'm sure some people probably eat that shit up.
Like, oh, vegan?
Yes.
All right, bye. So what's your, like, your fashion gods that you look up to and you're like, because we have it in music. I have it in music. There's people that I'm like, every time they do something, it's just insane. And I'm like, I'm going to quit because they're just too fucking good. Like, who is it for you guys that you're just like, I wish, or I guess the better question, not that you want to copy somebody or you want somebody else's life, but if you could have somebody else's career, what would it be? Or if you could like kind of mimic, deviate in your own way to be something else, what would it be?
I think Cass and I have totally different answers on this.
I love that.
Mine is definitely Alexander McQueen. His real name is Lee McQueen. He like died a while back, but he was the biggest, like still is my biggest inspiration. He really created cool ass content with like a huge story and everything was a performance. And I just love that. How I've like his fashion was literally art. So he's my number one. And then my number two is Kirby Jean Raymond of Pyre Moss. He is just so stinking cool. And all of his, collections, like addressing things that are going on in the world, I think is like amazing and super inspiring.
The Alexander McQueen, how good is that documentary?
So good. I made Cass watch it while we were in New York. I was like, you need to watch this.
It's so good. I think I cried the first time I watched it because I didn't know he killed himself. Spoiler alert. But his like shows were insane.
Yeah, I know. When we were watching in New York, like we had meetings the next day and we had to be up early, but I just like, my eyes are like glued to the TV. I just like couldn't stop watching. It was so incredible. So
my favorite one was the like mental asylum.
Me too. End scene where the glass shatters and the butter, the moths fly out. Moths. That was so cool.
So good. Love that. What about you?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. A lot of my answers would maybe be a little more like on the business side and just building like a more sustainable business. But I was trying to think creatively, like who inspires me in the fashion industry. And I was leaning more towards Kirby Jean Raymond. So I'm just going to copy.
I don't know that person.
Oh, look up Pyre Moss. That's his brand.
What's it called?
PYERMOSS. He's just really interesting and he kind of goes against the grain of like the fashion industry. Like with all the Black Lives Matter movement going on, the CFDA, which is like, I don't know, like the Council of Fashion Designers of America. It's beyond America, isn't it? No, it's of America, I think.
Something.
Anyways, they came out with like this statement about BLM and it was just like very like cookie cutter, and he called them out for that and was like, this is like a bubblegum ass statement. And like he basically went against these people who hold so much power, and it was just like, wow, this guy like really is genuine and like will stand up for what he believes in and do that through his fashion.
His shit's crazy. I'm on his Instagram now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's cool.
It's wild. I love that. Okay, flares. I got to talk to you about this. I've been seeing so many flares come back recently, and I am not about it. What's your thoughts on flares?
You mean like pants flaring and stuff?
Yeah, pants.
What do you think, Kels?
If it's done right, but like not like, I know the flair that's in your head.
And the 70s flair?
Yeah. Like yeah. If that's yeah, yeah. Mine,
but if it's worked right and like the silhouette's good of it, then it can work. But yeah.
I feel like the way that Kelsey designs is more like oversized. Like you have that pair of pants that's almost, it's not a flare. It's like just the whole weight. Straight it's like, down. It doesn't go like that. It just like the whole way the silhouette is like a little more like overall flared. So it's like an oversized, like masculine look. And I think those are cool. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like Kel said, if it's done right, then it's cool. But there's a lot.
Is there anything that you're just like, definitely not, can't deal with that?
I hate those tops that like go in tight and then they flare out. What are those called?
Oh,
they're like flower pots.
I hate those shirts. They're like, they don't look good to me. So
it's like mermaid kind of or something.
Yeah, I forget what they're called. They have a name, but
those for me is those sneakers. Sorry if any of you are wearing them. I doubt you will be, but yeah, I'm wearing one of those tops right now, actually. those fucking sneakers that are like, they were massive. I think Fila did.
Fila?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My friend actually has a pair of those. I went over there the other night and she's like, yeah, these are the pair that I'll never wear because I don't know why I bought them. And like, she showed me a meme of like, I don't know, I forgot what it was, but they were like something super giant. And she's just like, yeah, after I saw the meme, I can't wear them anymore.
Oh,
they're awful. They're the ones I just can't deal with. Like anyone wearing them, I'm like, nope. Could be literally the hottest person. And then you're wearing those. And I'm like, nope, not happening.
Yeah. Some of them are just like too chunky. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, there's a line. Yeah.
Totally.
Maybe. Though fashion, yeah. There are no lines, so I retract that statement. Wear what you want, people.
I do agree with that, but I feel like fashion is fashion for, it's called fashion for a reason, because it is about just kind of, I don't know, a lot of fashion is just the same, right? And it just comes around and gets unfashionable and then gets fashionable again. How much of it for you guys is based on like influencer marketing and things like that, where you're like, oh, this brand is doing this, we should do something like this? Or is it literally you're not looking at anyone else, you're literally just doing your own thing?
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, we're like, we don't want to follow trends. Like, we don't want to like be, I don't know, just creating things that are hot and then not anymore. Like, we just want to do what we want to do and do it right and cool. So I think we just kind of like, what's the thing, you go to your own beat or whatever,
just march to the beat of your own drum.
Yes.
Go to it. Your own beat. Yeah. I think what makes our brand cool and what people like is that everything comes from like Kelsey's head, and so it's like not been seen before. And of course, like, you're going to be inspired by things that are going on. Like, there's a lot of patchwork going on right now, so that's going to be inspirational. Like, people are wearing chunky things, people are wearing oversized things, so that's going to like naturally kind of get into like your what influences you every day. But I think it's a matter of like filtering that out and like remembering who we're designing for and just staying true to that aesthetic, and then it's going to be like reimagined. So like, nothing's new, it's just kind of done in a slightly different way.
Yeah, totally. I think like the classic, classic streetwear now, like a classic example is like what Virgil did with his belts. Like, he just created this fucking long belt that everyone wears now, that no one would have ever have worn a belt that long 5-6 years ago, but now everyone wants it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. And it's also, I feel like, on the top of my mind, maybe on yours too, but just like, what's next? Like, how is streetwear going to evolve? Is it always going to be like this kind of urban, you know, sporty look? Or like, how is it going to change? So I don't know. I'm curious to see just how the fashion industry continues to evolve and how we can really like drive that. What's the next, you know, off-white belt? Like, what's the next thing that people are going to, like, obsess over?
Have you read the Bobby Hundreds book?
No.
He did a book. You know Hundreds, the brand.
Yeah.
He did a book. It's called This is Not a T-Shirt Brand or something like that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's really good. I listen. I hate reading, so I listen to books. But it was. I listened to it the other day, and it's actually a really good read. I would like highly recommend it because it talks about how the Hundreds was like the hottest thing and then was completely unhot and then hot again and completely unhot and then hot again. And it's just like really interesting to see how kind of how fickle the industry is. Mm-hmm. And it's the same in music. It's like you're the hot thing and then everyone's bored of you. So you've got to kind of go under a rock for a few years and then you come back with something amazing and then everyone wants you again. Is the plan to make Deviate fucking massive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Do it.
Yeah. We want to build a global brand. And like our mission is to show people that, look, you know, Detroit has something special to offer and we can't do that unless we're like, you literally, you're seeing us everywhere. And that's our goal. So it's a lofty one, but I mean, we've got time on our side, so we're not quitting.
How old are you both?
I'm 25.
I'm 23.
Young. Keep it up.
Yep. So I don't know. I think sometimes people underestimate us because of our age, but then I think they quickly realize that we are wiser than I think maybe it appears.
Fuck them. Don't trust people like that.
Simply put, fuck them.
You'll get to like, I'm 30 now. I turned 30 this year. And for my whole career, everyone's like, oh, you're so young. You're so young. And then you get to 30 and you're like, now you're not the young one. You're like the one telling everybody that you're young, even though 30 is still young. But like you're telling the like 20-year-olds that they're young and they've got so much time. And it's like, I'd really dislike that because it's not about age. It's just about if you're fucking good or not. And if you're fucking good, then you're going to be better than everyone else. So that's what it's about, to keep that shit up.
Yeah, words to live by, Will. Yeah, exactly. I'm feeling inspired.
So let's wrap this one up. But how can people, first of all, see what you do? How can people buy your shit?
Yeah, so people can see what we do on our Instagram. So our Instagram is @deviate_fashion. We also have a TikTok, but the girl on my team runs that. I don't really know how to do TikTok, gotta be honest, but you can find us on there too.
That's because you're not 12. That's like, you have to be 12 to be good at TikTok. It's just the rules.
I know. That shit makes me feel so old, but anyways,
that's another conversation. Talking about TikTok, I was talking about this on the podcast the other day, and for me, TikTok is probably the healthiest social media, as in it's everyone's just having fun on there. I don't see any like negative shit, where Instagram, like Twitter's just, no, Facebook's the worst. Facebook's like you're like grandma moaning about life, and then Twitter is just everyone shouting at each other. Instagram, everyone's insecure because everyone looks hot as fuck and we don't look that hot. And then TikTok's just a load of people dancing, having fun. So I'm kind of into TikTok.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, when you put it that way, maybe I'll mess around with the app, see if I can log in and do a little dancing. Yeah, so follow us on TikTok. We know what we're doing on that. And then our website is www.deviatefashion.com. So cool. You can check us out there too.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on. And let's catch up when I'm back in Detroit.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having us, Will. It was really cool to catch up and love all the stuff you're doing. So thanks for thinking of us.
Big love, girls. Take care. Keep safe. that was like, did you plan that? you definitely planned that. Anybody that's listening, they both like threw up the love heart sign on with their hands. It was kind of cute. Anyway, love you girls, keep safe, and that is a wrap. That was amazing. I love that. I love catching up with them as well. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please give us a little comment in whatever you're listening to. Share it, send it to your mates, your gran, your mum, whoever, and give us a little rating. Keep safe. Have a great one. Big love.
Temple University is ranked among the top 50 public universities in the U.S. Through hands-on learning opportunities and world-class faculty, Temple students are prepared to soar in their careers. Schedule a campus tour today at admissions.temple.edu/visit.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.